I'm so glad to be in the house this morning. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. This is second service, and you know, the first service I came up here, I felt like a racehorse just ready to come out of the chute, amen, and take off. I kind of feel like a horse that's ready to go to the barn right now. So, but I'm going to do my best, amen, to deliver this message because I believe God has a word for each and every one of us today. And you know, God is—he's alive. He's alive and well, amen. And He's still speaking. And despite what you see on TV or what you see around you, that God, our God, is still on the throne, amen. He still rules. He still reigns, amen. He's still alive. He's still working in our hearts and our lives and in our church today. So I'm excited about that. We start a brand new series today. And the series is called, you've seen the video announcement. Some of you are saying, what the heck is that all about? We're talking about standing, amen. How many know that in the day and age that we live in, it's so important that we stand up, amen, and be the church that God called us to be. We stand up and be the Christian, the individual that God called us to be, amen. And I believe we're in a season and a time right now that this is so appropriate. So today we're starting this brand new series. It's a five-part message series. You're not going to want to miss a single Sunday. Make sure you get out. Don't miss out, amen. You're going to miss it. Any part of the series, it's going to mess you up, amen. So you need to be here. The series is called Stand. And this morning, we're going to be talking about standing out. Somebody say standing out. Come on, somebody say it. Some of you are ventriloquists. You know, I just hear it, but I don't see. Say stand out. Stand out. I need you all to help me out this morning, amen. Not like that. I need y'all to help me out this morning. Just say this. Just say, preach it, preacher. Come on, just say that. Just say, come on, say it like you really mean it. Let me think another one. Just say, good. That's good preaching. Come on, just say, that's good preaching. That's good preaching. Okay, so I need you to help me out today because there's some parts in my message where I'm going to need you to kind of just say that so I can keep on going. And, you know, you might say something like later on, you might say something like, preach it, preacher, or whatever, but I need you to get excited about today's message, amen. But today, this morning, we're talking about standing out, and it's so cool. I want to just share a couple of quotes with you. Here's one right here. It says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for anything, amen. So today, we're talking about how do we stand out? How do we stand out? Somebody say that with me. Say stand out. How do we stand out in the right ways at the right time for the right reasons? How do we stand out in the right ways at the right time for the right reasons? Here's another great quote that I like. It says, you'll never get over or past what you tolerate. You have to take a stand. You have to take a stand. Amen. And so I believe with all my heart, this series is so appropriate for the season that we're living in. We're living in a time where Christians are laying down and being passive about what's happening around them. We're living in a time where Christians are should be standing up, but instead we're just blending in. And I believe God didn't call us to just blend in. He called us to stand out. This church is in this community to stand out. We are a light to the world. We're a light to this community. We're a light to Wilmington. Come on, how many Wilmington people do we have? Say, preach it, preacher. Come on, say, preach it, preacher. Good preaching. Come on, say, good preaching, preacher. Amen. I believe that we're to stand out, amen, as a church that is a beacon of hope, a beacon of hope, amen, and future and God in this city, amen. And so we should be standing out, amen. And when we stand out in the right ways, at the right time, for the right season, it'll set a course for your life. It'll set the direction for our life, not only for this generation, but I believe for the generations to come. It's time for us to stand out. For us to stand out. Come on, somebody. For us to stand out. Some of you all need to stop the silence, amen. Stop being passive. Stop laying down and just, what's that song? Que será, será, whatever will be, amen. And, hey, no, it's time to stand up, amen. How many could say amen to that this morning, amen? It's going to set the tone. It's going to set the direction, not only for the here and now, but for the generations to come, amen. And the opposite is true when we compromise. Somebody say, preacher, preacher, man, preacher, that's good preaching. The opposite is true as well. When we compromise on the wrong things in the wrong ways at the wrong time, amen, it'll cost us more than we can even think or imagine. That compromise will take us in the wrong direction. Amen. So if you're going to stand out, if you're going to stand for God, make sure you stand out for the right reasons, at the right time, in the right ways. Can you say amen this morning? So we're going to be looking at the book of Daniel for the next 5 weeks. And today we're talking about standing out for God. Next week we're going to be talking about standing up for God. How many know it's so important that we stand up for God? Then in week three we're going to be talking about how we stand for what matters. We're standing for what matters. Week four, we're going to talk about standing against what we stand against. And then we're going to wrap it up in week five with what we stand with. Amen. And so I encourage you to come out each and every week for the next 5 weeks and don't miss none of this series. Amen. I want to open in a word of prayer. Would you join me as we pray? Father, we just thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, that your word brings life and a hope and a future, God. And Father, I thank you, God, that even today, Father, you take what's in my heart and you cause it to come out of my mouth, God. I pray that you would just somehow, some way, make sense of what I say, that it would penetrate each heart, every life that is in this place and those that are watching online, God. I pray, Father, that, Lord, that as I speak your word, Father, that they'll not be my words, but it'll be your word that comes out of my mouth, Father. And I thank you, God, for, Lord, just a challenging word. I thank you, Father God, for a word that will cause us to stand out, God, in our city, in our home, in our workplace, in our community, Father God. And Father, I just come against every distraction right now. I come against everything that would try to cause our mind to wander, God, that, Lord, we would just focus, that we would zero in on you this morning so that we can receive the word that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all say together, amen and amen. So today we're talking about standing out. And let me just set the scene for us today. We're going to be talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. How many's ever heard of King Nebuchadnezzar? And maybe some of you haven't heard of that, but we're going to get into this story this morning. And the King Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king. He was an evil king who came and destroyed Jerusalem. He was so evil. Not only did he destroy the city, not only did he come in and conquer the city, but the Bible says he came in and he burnt the temple. He came and he burnt the church, amen? He came and burnt the temple, and then he went into the temple and he took every symbol, every relic, everything that represented our worship to God, and he crushed them, he destroyed them, he burned them. And this is the statement that King Nebuchadnezzar was making. He was making this statement. He was saying, the worship of your God is going to be obsolete. Come on, somebody, preacher, preacher, man, preacher, preacher, good preaching. I'm taking anything out that matters to you or is remotely close to your worship of the one you say is the one true God. Amen. In other words, it was a season, it was a time, he was coming in and he was destroying everything that was related to worshiping the one true God. Come on, are you here this morning? Not only did he destroy the temple, not only did he destroy the city, not only did he take all the symbols, but even worse, he said, I'm going to destroy your future as well as your present. Not only was he destroying the here and now, what they saw in front of them, but he was saying to them, I'm going to destroy your future as well. And he said to his leaders, go and find the sharpest and brightest sons of the royalty and nobles. I want to basically what he was saying, I want you to go to the church and I want you to take the best of their best and I want you to kidnap them and bring them to me. And this is what he said, I'm going to indoctrinate them into the Babylonian culture. I'm going to train them for 3 years. They're going to be my future leaders in my government. So not only am I destroying Jerusalem and your present, he said, I'm destroying your future by taking the best of your best and making them the leaders making them my leaders so that they won't be your leaders. Come on, are you here this morning? Listen, I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, right? I wrote this down and I'm not even sure if it's a word, but if Webster's can make his own dictionary, I can make my own dictionary, right? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. Is that a word? It sounds pretty cool though. I mean, you think it's funny, but you I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not going around thinking that they're conspiring. But here's the thing that I do know. I know that Satan's plan from the very beginning is and always has been and has not changed. He wants to take God's place. He wants to erase what God has planned for you and me and put himself in that position. And it's time for us as a church to take a stand, to stand out. Listen, some of you all need to get your head out of the sand. Amen. Come on, say, preacher, preacher, good preaching. Come on, chapel, say it. Preacher, preacher, good preaching. Amen. Thank you. That's enough. That's enough. The devil's plan has always been to try to take God's place. From the very beginning, he's always wanted to sit where God sits. He's always wanted to take over God's throne. Now, how many know where God's throne is? God's throne, we think sometimes, is far, far away in heaven somewhere, but no, God's throne is in your heart. It's in your heart. God belongs on the seat, on the throne of your heart, and Satan has a plan. He wants to come in. He wants to destroy the temple. He wants to destroy the city. He wants to destroy your future, and he wants to take God's place in your life. And it's time to take a stand. Are you here this morning? Come on, preacher, preacher, good preaching. And we have to really be blind, and we have to be in a state of denial not to recognize that history repeats itself. Christianity, the way we know it, is under attack. Come on, somebody. And it's very subtle. It's very decisive. Just like the Bible describes, Satan is sly, he's slick, and he's wicked. And he wants to take God's place in your life. And he does it a little here and a little there, amen, until he takes over, amen, until he takes over. But we have to wake up. We have to stand up. We have to get our head out of the sand and realize that this is a battle that we need to fight, amen. And I'm not talking about taking up arms, but I'm talking about being who God called you to be. I'm talking about letting God rule your life. Let him reign your life. Let him sit on the throne of your heart, amen, and direct your path, direct your steps, amen, and take you to the place that he wants you to be, amen. Take you to the place that he wants you to be. We are under attack, amen. We are under the attack of the enemy. But here's the cool thing. Because I'm not a conspiracy theorist, because I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, I also believe with all my heart that this is a season, it's an opportunity for the greatest move of God the world has ever witnessed. Amen. So even as the enemy is trying to come in like a flood, the Bible says that God will lift up a standard. He'll stand, you're going to stand out, you're going to stand up, and you're going to stand out, and we're going to see revival like never before that's never been witnessed on the face of the earth. How many believe that with me this morning? But we have to take a stand. We have to take a stand. We're going to pick up the story here in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, Daniel chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Verse number 3. Then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. Then they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter into the king's service. Amen. So here it is, Nebuchadnezzar, he conquers the city, he conquers the kingdom of God, the church, if you will, he conquers them, and he begins to take their choice. He begins to take the best of the best, and it was a very intentional and strategic plan to indoctrinate these young boys into the Babylonian culture. In other words, the king wanted them to think like Babylonians thought. He wanted them to behave like Babylonians behaved. And he wanted them to believe what Babylonians believed. Amen. Come on, are you here this morning? I believe that this mirrors the strategy that Satan has for the church. He wants those who are followers of Christ to think like he thinks, to believe what he believes, and to behave like he would want us to behave. I believe Satan wants everybody on planet Earth to disregard the teaching of the one true God and to submit and surrender to his systems of this world. Come on, are you listening to me? Preacher, man, good preaching. And there is a full-on spiritual attack against the people of God as Satan lies and he deceives and he tries to lure away people from God's best to live according to a lower standard. Amen. Are you in agreement with me today? Amen. This is why this is why it's so impossible to be a sort of Christian. preacher, good preaching. This is why it's impossible to be a sort of Christian and have any success in this world. You can't be a part-time Christian and expect to have victory in God. Preacher, that's good preaching. Amen. You can't be a part-time Christian and expect to experience all that God has planned for your life. Listen, it's all the way or it's no way. It's not. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. Amen. You're either in all the way or there's no in between. There's no fence in God. There's no half stepping. You're either in or you're out. Amen. And I don't know about you, but it's time for me to say, I'm all the way in. I'm standing up for God. I want to stand out. I want to stand out for God in a world that is anti-God. Amen. I don't want to just be sort of a Christian or a part-time Christian. Come on, say preacher, man. Some of you, they're getting weaker now. It was like, yeah, preacher. Now it's like, preach it, I think. You can't just be what some people have called a cultural Christian. You know what that means? Oh, my mom was a Christian. My nana was a Christian. So I guess I'm a Christian too. Amen. It's impossible to be sort of, kind of, a part-time, or just a cultural Christian. You can't just be a Christian that says, I'm a Christian. I go to church on Easter and on Christmas. And I make my mom happy, so I go on Mother's Day, amen, to church, amen. No, you can't be a sort of, kind of, part-time, cultural Christian and expect to have spiritual success and expect to have victory against the temptations and the darkness of this world. Preacher, preacher, good preaching, great preaching. You can't just kind of, sort of, be in and have victory with God, or the victory that God wants you to have. Listen, you can't just go to church for an hour and a half a week and expect, amen, that your life will be growing and thriving spiritually. In case you don't know, that's how long our services are, an hour and a half. And one preacher said, and some of you, maybe it's only an hour and 15 minutes because you're 15 minutes late to church. Preacher, preacher, good preaching. You can't go to church for an hour and a half a week and expect to be growing and thriving in the things of God or in the thing God wants you to do. Amen. We have to make the presence of God a priority in our life. Come on, somebody. You have to make God's presence a priority in your life. You have to seek Him. You have to depend on Him. You have to live and dwell in His Word, amen, where you're feeding and you're renewing your mind and you're learning how to walk by faith and not by sight. You're hearing His Spirit and He's directing your path. He's ordering your steps. He's leading you along the way. You can't just be a sort of, kind of, half-time, part-time, cultural Christian and have the life and victory that God wants you to have. Amen. Thank you. They're getting weaker, but you're still here. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18 says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, verse 14 says, stand firm then. You know what Paul was saying? Stand your ground, amen. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand your ground, and after you've stand some more, amen. Don't stop standing up. Don't start standing out for the things of God. Verse 14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up your shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and keep on praying for all saints. Amen. Paul says, after you've stood, stand some more. Let me just tell you something about the armor of God. Paul was talking about the Roman soldier armor. This is so cool. It's kind of like a little sidebar, amen, but the Roman armor, all the articles, all the pieces of the armor covered only the front side. There was no armor in the back, amen? You know why? Because you don't turn your back on the enemy. You don't turn your back and run, amen. The Roman soldiers were taught, you don't turn, they're not gonna get you in the back. You don't have no armor in the back because you're gonna face them head on. You're gonna go straight towards them. You're gonna fight. Here's another cool thing. Those shoes, those feet that are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel, they had spikes on them. Isn't that cool? They had spikes on them. You know what that meant? That they stuck their feet in the ground, and when the enemy came at them, they weren't moved. They're going to stand. They're going to stand up. They're going to stand out, and they're going to go straight forward for the enemy. And listen, it's time for you to take off your slippery shoes and put on some spikes, amen, and begin to stand up for what's right. Stand up for the right reasons at the right time in the right way. Stand out for God. Stand out for God. Stand out for God. Sometimes you just got to take a stand for what matters most in the right way, at the right time, and for the right reasons. And if you're never standing out and you're always blending in, then you're not a truly committed follower of Jesus. Come on, amen. Preacher, good preaching. If you're never standing out and you're always blending in, then you're not truly committed to following Jesus. Preacher, that's good preaching. I wrote this down and I probably made up another word, or at least the spelling, because not even Siri knew how to spell it, amen? But I'm going to sacrifice myself today. I'm not called to be a chameleon Christian. How many know what a chameleon is? How many seen Finding Dory? How many remember the octopus? He could turn into all different colors, amen? A chameleon blends in. I can be over here and I can be red. I can be over there and I can be whatever color. A chameleon just blends in. God didn't call me to blend in. He called me to stand out. He called me to be different. He called me to look different. He called me to act different. He called me to talk different. He called me to speak different. He called me to be different. He called me to stand out for Him. So stop being a chameleon. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, stop being a chameleon. Because when you follow Him, you will be different. When you follow Him, you will be different. You will be set apart. Listen, I want somebody to know the Bible still says, be holy for I am holy. The Bible still says, God hasn't erased that part out. You can look it up. It's still there. It says, be holy, for I am holy. The word holy means to be set apart, to be different, to stand out. So God says there's times when you just have to stand out. And if you're a true follower of Christ, if you're really serving God, if you're really all the way, you will stand out for Him. You will stand out for Him. And that's what happened in the life of Daniel and his three friends. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 6 and 7, it says, among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief officials gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Ezra, Abednego. Amen. That's my shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Amen. So gave them three cool names. Two things that the king wanted to change. He was going to change their diet, and he was going to change their names. He's changing their diet, and he was changing their names. The chief official gave them new names. Why did he change their names? Because, see, their name represented who they were. Their names were connected to the worship of God. When they were born, their parents, their Jewish parents, gave them names that would connect them to the worship of God. And so what was the first thing that the Babylonian king wanted to take from them? He wanted to take their identity from them. He wanted to take their identity from them. And then he wanted to give them a new name. And the new name represented, was connected to the worship of their God, little g, to the pagan gods. He gave them new names that were connected to the worship of the pagan gods. And then the second thing the king wanted to change, he not only wanted to strip their identity, he not only wanted to strip who they were and give them something different, but the second thing the king wanted to change was he wanted to change their diet. It says that a portion from the king's table, they were going to get a portion of the meat and a portion of the wine. And I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good, amen? Hey, I'm tired of eating rice and beans. Give me some of that king's food. Come on, somebody. I'm tired of Taco Bell, amen? Give me some king's food, amen? That sounds really good, right? How many will take the king's food, amen? Sounds good to us, right? But the problem was the food that was prepared for the king, the meat and the wine, were dedicated to pagan gods. And that was a problem, amen? That was a problem for Daniel and his friends because they wanted to honor and worship God in every way possible. And to eat or drink anything dedicated to pagan gods would cross a line in their minds and be disrespectful to God. Amen. Here's the key verse this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8. And if you don't get nothing else today, please get a hold of this. Amen. Daniel chapter 1, verse number 8 says this. But Daniel resolved. Somebody say resolved. Come on, say it like you mean it. Resolved. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. So Daniel, he resolved in his heart. He made a decision, a predetermined decision, not to eat of something that was set apart for pagan worship, amen? And it's so interesting. It's interesting that Daniel didn't fight back when his name was taken. He didn't fight back when his name was taken. Because I believe Daniel said, you can call me whatever you want to call me. I know that I know that I know who I am, who I belong to, and who I'm serving. So you can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me any pagan worship name, but I know who I am, and I know in whom I believe. Amen. So his outward name meant nothing, amen, because he knew who he was in his heart, amen. You could call me whatever you want to call me, but I know inwardly I'll always worship God. I'll always know who God is, and I'll always serve my God. I'll always serve my God. So when do you take a stand? He took a stand when God's name might be defamed. He said, I'm not going to insult. I'm not going to let you insult the name of my God. You can call me whatever you want to call me. You can call me whatever you want to call me. I know who I am, but I'm not going to allow myself to get caught up in defaming the name of God or interrupting my worship to God. So he resolved to within himself not to defile himself or eat none of the food. I love this. And this is what I believe that with all my heart we need to get a hold of today. He made a predetermined resolution. Before the temptation was ever there, he pre-decided what he would do and what he would not do. He pre-decided, and that's why he was successful. Had he not pre-decided, you put the food in front of him, he could have done what so many of us do. So many times in our life where we begin to compromise. Come on, somebody. Preacher, preacher, man. Good preacher. Good preaching. We begin to compromise and we begin to rationalize something that we know wasn't right. Come on, preacher, good preaching. And we begin to say stuff, well, it looks pretty good. I mean, obviously, God must be bringing this to me. It's from the king's table. Come on, somebody. I've been eating beans and rice, amen. And you, by the, you know, besides, you got to eat something. I'll just do it just this once, and God will forgive me. How many's ever said that? I'll just do it this once. Listen, I tried something once, and it destroyed my life. Come on, somebody. I'll just do this one time, and God will forgive me. That one time will turn into two times and three times, and before you know it, you'll be so far from God, you'll be standing out for the wrong reasons, in the wrong way, at the wrong time. God wants you to stand for what's right, for the right reasons, in the right way, at the right time. Or like Daniel could have said, hey, all the other Jewish boys are eating the king's table. Come on, everybody else is doing it. How many's ever said that? Don't raise your hand. Amen. I'll just do this too. It's not that big of a deal. I don't see nobody getting struck down by lightning. Come on. I don't see nothing happening. There's nothing. I'll just do this one time. But that's not what Daniel did. He predetermined. He resolved in his heart ahead of time. He made a decision before he was faced with the temptation to do what's right. To do what's right. And here's a great statement. Your success, your walk with God will be determined by what you decide ahead of time. What you decide ahead of time. There's some things that you need to predetermine in your heart. You need to decide right now that no matter what happens in your future, I will always do such and such. I will never do such and such. Amen. I predetermined to serve God and honor God and serve Him in this way. And I predetermined that I'm not going to allow anything to come between the worship, between my worship and God. Come on, are you here this morning? Let me give you an example. When I first got saved, like many of you, I thought I was a super Christian. How many of you ever thought you were a super Christian? I mean, I had like two scriptures under my belt. You know, I preached already one time. Right? You know, I was a super Christian. And so like I'd get around my family, and I'd see them doing something that I thought was not of God. And guess what I would do? I would point it out. I would say, that's wrong. You shouldn't be talking like that. You shouldn't be drinking that. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be saying that. And I just got around my family and I just let them have it. Amen. Both guns, both barrels. Amen. Come on, how many were like that besides me? Amen. Matter of fact, one time we went camping and my brother-in-law, he tells me, I'm a Christian. I'm on fire for Jesus. I know two scriptures, amen, and I preached one message. And my brother-in-law tells me, hey, can you go to the liquor store and go buy me a case of beer? We're out. And I said, I'm not buying no beer for nobody, amen. Matter of fact, what's so funny is like I'd go in their ice chest and I'd grab their beer and I'd say, Lord, flatten this beer, make them sick to their stomach. Make it flat, God. Flatten it right now in Jesus' name. Make them sick, God. Then my brother-in-law would, oh, this one's flat. Give me another one. But here's what I determined in my heart back then. I said, I've never bought alcohol. I got saved when I was 20 years old, amen? So legal age is what, 20? What's the legal age for alcohol? How do you guys know? I made a determination, I will never buy alcohol legally. I bought it before that, but you know, illegally or whatever, but I'll never get carded for alcohol because I predetermined I'm never gonna buy alcohol, not for my brother-in-law, not even for cooking, amen. I'm not buying, no, I will use the red wine vinegar, right? It doesn't taste as good, but it still works, amen. Predetermination. But I said that to say this. In those early years, I was always pointing my finger, man, just in people's face, and that's so wrong, and you shouldn't do that, and just so judgmental. And I came to a point in my life where God just got this revelation from God, and God said, man, if anybody should know about the grace of God, it should be you. It should be me. If anybody should know about God's forgiveness, it should be me. If anybody should know about God's ability to be able to set that person free from that thing that they're doing, it should be me. Amen. And so I determined in my heart that I would never point my finger at anybody. I'll never judge anybody. I'm going to look at people and I'm going to look at them the way God sees them. See, Jesus died for their sin. Jesus died to forgive them. Jesus died to set them free. And I refuse to point my finger at people again. I predetermined. And guess what? That stands out to people. It stands out to people. Listen, at work, I don't wear a badge, Pastor Louie, in fact, I hide it, amen. I don't want nobody to know, because then they start acting different around you, they talk to you different or whatever. But you know what's crazy? I've been on the docks for like 20 years, I guess, now, or even before that, other jobs, but the change, Pastor will know this, the change, before, people knew you were a Christian, and they cursed, and, oh, I'm sorry. Now they don't even care. They just let it go, amen. They don't, Pastor, who cares? We just talk crazy in front of people, amen. I don't know why I said that, but yeah. I believe that we need to start predetermining, making a resolving in your heart. I'm going to do this, or I'm not going to do this. And I don't know what that is for you. Maybe even right now you're kind of feeling that you're feeling this little, maybe your hair is standing up, and it's the Holy Spirit that's dealing with an issue in your life. And he's saying, man, you know what? You need to make a resolution. You need to make a decision that you're not going to do that anymore. You need to predetermine. You're not going to wait till you're tempted and you're caught up in some temptation. And then you're saying, what do I do, Holy Spirit? No, you're going to know already in your heart what's right, and I made a decision. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to stand out for God. I don't know what that is for you. Amen. I don't know what that is for you, but here's another example. Now I'm a Christian and I'm going to remain sexually pure. Preacher, man, good preaching. I got to preach. I was going to preach over there, but you're in the way, bro. Could you move so I could? No, I'm just kidding. Sex and intimacy was created by God for a man and a woman who have been joined together in the holy covenant of marriage. Say, preacher, man. I hear it's like this now. Preach it. preach it. I think. Amen. Now that I'm a Christian, I know that's something that I shouldn't be doing. So I predetermined that I'm not going to have sex until I get married. It's a predetermined decision. I resolved in my heart not to do this until it is blessed by God in the covenant of marriage. Somebody say, preacher, good preaching. Some of you need to predetermine not to do some of the things you used to do. You used to be a party animal, and now you're sold out to Jesus. So guess what that means? You don't go get drunk anymore. Come on, that's good. You got it now. I predetermine in my heart I'm not going to get drunk anymore. Listen, if you were a party animal, if that was your history before you came to Jesus, you have no business in the nightclub. You have no business in the bar. Amen. If you were an alcoholic, if you had a drinking problem, you have no business hanging out at the bar. Amen. You're standing out in the wrong way at the wrong time in the wrong place. Amen. You need to stand out for the right thing in the right place at the right time. And you need to predetermine in your heart that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost and you're not going to dishonor the body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I'm not going to get drunk. Preacher, man, good preaching. I'll hurry up and get past this. Take over, Pastor, here. You may predetermine in your heart not to be involved in the discussion at work where people are trash talking the opposite sex or always bashing the boss. Preacher, good preaching, David. You need to predetermine that you're not gonna have intimate conversations with the opposite sex at work. Preacher, good preaching. You guys are getting weak, amen, or it's me. Everybody else does it. She talks bad about her husband, he talks bad about his wife. But you decide, you know what? I'm not gonna go there. I'm going to be nice to people, but I'm not going to have those types of conversations. You predetermined, you've resolved in your heart that you're not going to allow anything to get between you and God, you and your God. You're going to stand out. You're going to stand out. So not only do you predetermine what you're not going to do, because how many know what to do is just as important as what not to do, amen? So you also predetermine what you're gonna do. You predetermine this. I'm gonna go to church every single week. I'm gonna pray every single day. I'm gonna read my Bible every single day. Why? Because I need the teaching of the Word to empower me in my life. So I've made a predetermined decision, a choice that I am gonna read my Word. I'm gonna pray every day. I'm gonna go to church every time the doors open. I'm predetermining what I'm going to do for God, and I'm going to stand out. And because you predetermine in your heart what to do and what not to do and how you're going to honor God, you will stand out. You will stand out. You will stand out. If you're never standing out and you're always blending in, then you're not fully following Christ. You're not fully following Christ. And these Hebrew boys, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, they didn't just do it once. They did it every day. They did it every week. They did it every month. They did it in the morning for breakfast. I'm not having that. They did it in the afternoon at lunch. I'm not having that. They predetermined at dinner time. I'm not going to have that. They did it over and over. They made a decision, one decision that set them apart again and again and again and again. Everybody else was eating the king's table. Everybody else was eating the king's food, but they made a decision to stand out, to stand out, to stand out, to stand out. It's so cool. Daniel, in God's wisdom, he tells the chief, he says, you know what? Let's try a little experiment. Why don't you give us vegetables and water and let everybody else eat the king's table and we'll see after 10 days how we look. And the Bible says that they had a glow upon them, amen? They had a glow upon them because they didn't defile, they didn't defame, they didn't partake of stuff that was dedicated to the worship of idols or pagan gods, amen? They made a predetermined choice, a predetermined decision that they were going to stand, they were going to stand, and they were going to stand out for God. Sometimes we stand out for the wrong things at the wrong time. See, Daniel and them, they didn't make a scene. They didn't make a big deal out of it. They just put their cleats in the ground, and they stood their ground, and they faced the enemy, and they realized God has a plan, God, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to stand out for God. I'm going to stand out for God. Amen. This is cool. Daniel chapter 1, this was the result of them standing out and standing up. the king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. I find it interesting that they're calling them by their Hebrew names right here. So they entered the king's service, and every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Isn't that cool? Because they stood their ground. Because they stood out. They were standing out. Because they stood their ground. The Bible says they were 10, not one time, not two times, 10 times better than all the other workers that they had in that king's palace. God gave them supernatural understanding. God gave them the ability to interpret visions and dreams. And they literally redirected the course of history because they stood up for what mattered most. If they had compromised, if they didn't have the courage to stand out, nothing historic would have happened. I wrote this down here. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be remembered for standing out than forgotten for blending in. I'd rather be remembered for standing out. Listen, I don't care what people say. I don't care what people think. You know, people can laugh at me. They can joke around. They can call me. They used to say stuff like, you know, you hallelujah or you holy roller. They don't use that stuff no more, but they used to say stuff like that. I used to have people call me Jim Baker. You're Jim Baker. You could call me whatever you want. You could say whatever you want. I know in whom I believe, amen? I know in whom I'm connected to. And I know I'm standing for what matters the most, amen? I'm standing for God. And because I'm standing for God, I'm standing out to the world, amen? We stand out because he called us to be different. And when you're different, you're going to stand out. When you're different, you're going to stand out for him. So why do we stand out? Why bother? Why not just let it be? Que sera? Whatever will be, amen? Why not just put our head down and enjoy our sweet relationship with God? Why not just let it? Why? Because see, Jesus stood. He died for you and for me. And he's called us not to be conformed to this, the patterns of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we can test and prove his perfect will. So that we could test and prove his perfect will. You can't be a part-time Christian and expect to stand out. And expect to have the victory that God wants for you, that God has for you. And listen, today, I've said some things that maybe, and I don't apologize, I might have stepped on somebody's toe today. And listen, I want you to know today that God loves you so much. He loves me so much that he's not going to leave me in the state I am. He loves me so much. Listen, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I like King James. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Somebody needs to be set free today. Somebody needs to make a predetermination. Somebody needs to pre-decide, I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm going to start doing this. Somebody needs to resolve in their heart today to say, God, I'm tired. I'm tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of all the mess. I'm tired of all the madness. I want to predetermine in my heart. I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to worship you, and I'm not going to allow anything to come between you and me. And I'm going to stand out. I'm going to stand out. How many are ready to stand out today? Come on, how many are ready to stand out for Jesus? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the series that we're beginning today. And Father, I thank you that as we progress and you just unfold this 5-week series, God, that at the end of 5 weeks, Father, that we're going to be better, we're going to be stronger, we're going to stand out for you, we're going to stand up for you, we're going to stand firm for you, we're going to stand in there, God. Father, I thank you that your word, Father, brings life. Your word brings a hope and a future to each and every one of us. And Father, I pray, Father, for that one that maybe got offended today, God, because we spoke, God, because we said, because we shared, God. I pray that today would be their day to make a predetermined decision, God, to say, you know what, I'm not going to go there anymore. I want to stand out for God. I want to stand up for the right thing at the right time in the right place. God, I'm tired of standing for the wrong thing in the wrong place in the wrong time and sticking out and standing up for the wrong things. And today, God, I believe with all my heart, someone in here needs to make a decision to predetermine, God. Maybe it isn't even what I mentioned, God, but whatever it is, even now by the Holy Spirit, God, you begin to speak to hearts, speak to lives, God, those that are watching online. You begin to put in our heart, God, those things that we need to predetermine, to resolve in our heart, Lord, not to go for, not to fall for. Father, help us to stand out today in the mighty name of Jesus. And as every head is bowed this morning and every eye is closed and nobody looking around, I'm going to ask you, if you're here today and you say, you know what, I need a predetermined, I need to make a predetermined decision in my life to say, you know what, no to that, or yes to that. If that's you today, I'm not going to bring you up or nothing. You don't have to, but I need you to just slip your hand up. You could just put it up and down really quick if you like. Maybe you just want to just do the little hand down at the waist or whatever, but I need you to acknowledge it before God. Just let God know, I'm right here, God. I need to make a predetermined decision in my life to stop doing this and to start doing that. If that's you, just slip your hand up really quick. Or maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here today, God sees all those hands, you can put them down. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I'm that cultural Christian. I just show up on Sunday because it's the thing to do. That's what I'm supposed to do. But you haven't really sold out to God. Maybe you're that one that says, man, I'm just a part-time Christian. Today, you can make a decision, a predetermined decision, and say, you know what, I want to sell out to God. I want to give my all to God. I don't want to just be a weekend Christian, a weekend warrior. I want to stand up. I want to stand out for God. And if that's you today, I want you to just slip your hand up really quick. Anybody in this place, God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else in the back there, amen. Anybody in the chapel, you say, yes, I need God to forgive me. I want to start fresh today. I want to make a predetermined, a resolve. I want to resolve in my heart to be sold out to God 100% today. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I want to pray right now. Would you pray this prayer with me? Just say, dear Jesus, I ask you right now, come into my life. I dedicate and I rededicate my life to you. And from this moment on, I predetermine, I predecide in my heart to stand out for the things of God and not to allow the enemy to come in and take God's place in my life. In Jesus' name I pray. And we all say together, amen. And amen. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Just get ready to dismiss. I want to encourage you to come out tonight, 7 o'clock for prayer. Join us for the next 6 nights, amen, in prayer. What an awesome way to start to finish this message and to go into this series, amen, by just getting before the Lord. 7 o'clock for 1 hour prayer here in the sanctuary. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Would you hug someone on your way out? Would you love someone? God bless you guys. Thank you so much for being here. See you tonight. God bless you guys.